Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 162, the stanzas 1 and 2. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior He has proved. He only is my rock and tower, I never shall be moved. And what follows, Psalter 162, the two stanzas. Out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 16, the verses 16 through 34. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 16, the verses 16 through 34. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Most holy, most righteous, merciful, ever faithful, good-doing God, when on this Sabbath day, when by renewal we may come within the walls of thy house and we attempt to draw nigh unto thee, thou who art so majestic, so glorious, so high and lifted up, may it please thee to close us with that reverence, that humility, a deep sense of our need, and that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. May it please thee in this hour to do what thou hast done in the realm of nature. Thou hast granted plentiful showers. Everything is so beautiful, so lushy, so green. And that is now an emblem of the work of thy Holy Spirit. Without it is all a wilderness. But when the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, 'tis written in thy word, then the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Lord, when there are such souls in our midst, to experience that wilderness, dry and thirsty, may it please thee to be a surprising God. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up, what our particular requests have been, and may there have been particular requests indeed among young and old. Grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and may it please thee to bless thy word richly and abundantly for the conversions of our little boys and our little girls, the children, the youth, the middle-aged, the elderly ones. Spare that we build not upon sandy foundations. Remember thy Zion. Thou knowest where they are encamped. May it please thee to bless them according to their several needs. We commend this people unto thee, consistory and congregation, thy servant who may be in the branch, where he hopes to administer the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, do help, stand on his right and on his left. We commend thy church unto thee. Remember thy servants, do help the student, elders and deacons, the sowers of the word. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, mission work, our mission field, thy servant, the team, the people in Bolivia, the people in Peru, wilt thou bring safely home, and may your heart be inclined to labor amongst them. Lord, bless the manifold labors amongst us in the church. Help fathers and mothers to instruct their dear children in the aforesaid doctrine. We commend our school unto thee. The concerns are great and manifold. We humbly ask thee to help for the last days. Grant traveling mercies. Help the staff, the students, many students who are required to write exams. May their diligence be crowned, the prayers answered. We commend unto thee the graduation class. Hope to experience a special milestone. Wilt thou spare them until the day? May it please thee to grant a soft, a broken heart. May it also be a day of examination concerning the instruction out of thy holy word, which they have received for many years, whether it has been blessed to their hearts, impress upon all of their hearts that by thy free and sovereign grace, they need to be enrolled in the school of King Jesus, where the students never graduate, where they learn more and more how little they know, much to unlearn, much to learn, much to relearn. Thou hast a people upon the earth that learned is grace and grace alone, the work of a triune God, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost. Remember the special needs. Then once more in this day, then we commend unto thee for body and soul that little daughter in such a serious and critical condition. It is all in thy hands. We commend unto thee the parents and the family circles. Do remember all those that are under the physician's care, special ways, young and old. Remember the elderly ones. Remember all the mourning ones. May out of that mourning another mourning be born. And that is a mourning for our sins and in need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. When there are those that struggle with weakness of mind, do help and remember them. With those that are near and dear unto them, remember those that struggle with temptations and addictions. May it please thee to deliver them. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember our country federally, provincially, the council also of this town, O Lord. May we yet be given to turn unto thee while it can yet, while it may yet. And may we be given to oftentimes remember that thou was written in thy holy word that the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God, O Lord. Do grant unto thy church to turn from worldly and evil ways. Grant that repentance. We now humbly ask of thee for thy help, the opening of thy word. May thy word go forth with power divine. May hearts be opened. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalter 76, the four stanzas. And now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor and beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord. And what follows, Psalter 76, the four stanzas. in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture, Acts 16, the verses 25 through 34, and we shall read the verses 29, 30, and 31. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Our text words speak of diverse voices at midnight in the city of Philippi. Four thoughts. First, the praising of persecuted apostles. Secondly, the speaking of an almighty God. Thirdly, the cry of the desperate jailer. And in the fourth place, the preaching of the glorious gospel. Diverse voices at midnight in the city of Philippi. The praising of persecuted apostles. The speaking of an almighty God. The cry of the desperate jailer. And the preaching of the glorious gospel. And my fellow travelers to that never-ending and all-decisive eternity, and then shall it be well, and then in our life we need to experience those different voices. The Lord speaks unto us and our children in manifold ways. And then how terrible it is to stop our ears, to refuse to listen to the King, to go our own chosen ways. And if that continues, there shall come a time, the great day of judgment, which is hastily approaching. And then we read in God's word that the trumpet will sound. And each and every one shall hear the voice of the trumpet. And then we shall be arrayed before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, shall be separated, the sheep on the right, the goats on the left, and then to receive our rightful sentence. In our text words, Paul and Silas, on the second missionary journey, then we read in the first three verses of this chapter that they have come to Lystra, and there they have taken Timothy along. What a blessing. When there may be those Timothys in the congregation, where it is evident that in due season and they may receive a place in the church. And then it is clear in this chapter, Luke has written the book of Acts, and then in verse 8, he has written of they, Paul and Silas and Timothy, but in verse 10, we read we. Thus that implies that in Troas, Luke has joined them. The Macedonian man come over and help us. And so they have come to Philippi. Lord's ways can be so mysterious. And then surely we would think was such a clear call that there would be a large waiting congregation. Nevertheless, at the riverside, there were some women where prayer was wont to be made. The heart of Lydia opened. We have heard it. A damsel that was possessed cried out, these are the servants of the living God. But Paul has rebuked that spirit. Then she came to her right mind. And on account of that deliverance, they have brought them to the authorities. And then we have heard it. They were beaten. And then the authorities have given commandment to the jailer to keep him in prison. And then the jailer has brought Paul and Silas. Why not Lucas and Timothy? It is not clear. Perhaps because Luke was a Gentile, Timothy half. Then the jailer has placed these two prisoners in the inner prison. It means boys and girls, the darkest and the gloomiest prison. And has placed them in stocks. And so they were in prison. And now we read our first point, the praising of persecuted apostles. Because we read in this chapter, when they were in prison and at midnight. Midnight, boys and girls, then most people are sleeping. Not everyone. Mothers up with their little children. Also good to remember them. Can be sickness. Of course, there can also be wicked places and wicked parties where we do not belong. Can also be other reasons why we are awake. Are there times also in the night watches that we are troubled about our soul, that one thing needed? It is very evident that the jailer did not reckon with the God of the servants of the Most High when he placed them in the stocks and he put them in prison. How is it in our life? The decisions we make in our life, do we reckon with that great God enthroned on high in majesty and glory, so holy, so righteous, so good doing, so almighty? And then you can understand, boys and girls, as they were beaten with many stripes, with their raw back, and then their ankles in the stocks, two pieces of wood, a few hollows, where their ankles were. Undoubtedly on their back. Then if we would put our ear to that prison door, then we would hear crying and murmuring. But that's not what we read. Job, in Job 35 verse 10 is written, "But no one saith, where is my God, who gives psalms in the night?" And do we not read in Psalm 42 verse 8, "And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer with the God of my life." And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. What do you think they have prayed for? Let us ask. What have we prayed for today? What have we prayed for before we came up to God's house? Were there particular petitions, special matters, which we have prayed for? Or have you even forgotten, boys and girls, to ask for a new heart in this afternoon? That is not good, of course. Must ask the Lord each time when we come up to God's house for a new heart. People of God, was there now a particular request, particular petition, what you have sent up to heaven in this day? It is so necessary. Our petitions, they can be so general. It is so needful that they become more particular. What has Paul and Silas now prayed for? Oh, surely they have prayed for that damsel. The Lord has done such a wonderful work that she may remain strong and not deny the Lord who has healed her. Prayed for Lydia and her household. Prayed for the jailer. What do you think? Would it now be possible for the Lord to convert that jailer? Has become very hard. He's thrown him into the prison. Oh, ask Paul. What has Paul learned? What do God's true people learn? Not to misunderstand it. Does not mean that we have to live it out in the world. Privilege and a blessing when we may be kept. But the church learns. Paul has learned it. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. "And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Prayed, strength to endure, to be kept from questioning their sender, kept from murmuring. Church learns. 1 Peter 1 verse 5, "Kept by the power of God." Prayed that in the city of Philippi, that even these means would be used for the coming of his kingdom, for the glory of his name. Prayed for strength to endure. Prayed that they may be delivered, because there were many more Gentiles that needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. How has it been with our praises? Then we shall even speak only of the mind. What have we thanked the Lord for in this day? Or are there not reasons to thank the Lord? Psalmist, Psalm 40 verse 5, has written that they could not be numbered. When we think, boys and girls, of Paul and Silas in that inner prison, and we have a soft bed with a soft pillow, is that not reason to thank the Lord? Or do we all find it so normal? Do we all take it for granted? The blessings which the Lord so bountifully bestows upon us may still live in a country where we may freely and unhindered come up this morning hour, first day of summer. Isn't that not reason to praise the Lord that he has spared us in other season, can multiply it out the realm of nature? Lord has given refreshing and bountiful showers. Oh, the earth is so full of his goodness. And so empty of his praise. Has that ever become our guilt? Has that become our sorrow? Where does the goodness of God bring us? Romans 2 verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God bringeth thee to repentance? Job, in Job 23, verse 16, has stated, for God maketh my heart soft. Reasons to acknowledge the Lord, a place of worship under the truth. The Lord speaks in so many ways. Then at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. What do you think that Paul and Silas has thanked the Lord for? Oh, undoubtedly, they have thanked the Lord that they were not the jailer, but that they were the prisoners. Cannot be different. When Paul was in prison, that he thought of the time that he was the persecutor. And many he has sent into prison and caused their death. Oh, then surely when Paul was given to reflect upon the almighty and wonderful grace that the Lord has arrested him, stopped him, brought him to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, and made him a messenger of good tidings. Praise the Lord that they were counted worthy. Christ has said it in John 15, verse 20. They have persecuted me. They shall also persecute you. And Paul has written to Timothy, those that will live godly, they shall suffer persecution. That the king that he counted Paul and Silas worthy to suffer, to wear the badges of persecution. Praise the Lord. Just a short time in Philippi, the Lord has opened the heart of Lydia, the damsel delivered, and Paul and Silas were given to praise the Lord that their labors were blessed, given to praise the Lord for his tokens of love in that prison. Oh, when the Lord may be with us, then, boys and girls, then prison can be a good place. How often, concerning our fathers, when we think of the Bible, I think our boys and girls can agree, for those three friends in Daniel 3, in that fiery furnace, Son of God was with them. Daniel in the land of in the den of lions, special place. Then it is clear that in the prison, sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Oh, then it can be when the Lord grants it, when the Lord comes over. Paul has written to the Romans, to glory in tribulation, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of the Holy Ghost that is shed abroad in our hearts. The apostles have prayed, they have praised, and it was heard by the prisoners. Maybe oftentimes prisoners, they have heard much swearing and much cursing, but now they heard prayer and praise. Special church service. Prison, concerning the preachers, concerning the place, concerning the audience, and concerning the time. Our second thought, the speaking of an almighty God. Read in John 4, verse 4, that he must needs go through Samaria. In that city of Philippi, there were those that were written in the book of the Lamb, and that must come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And Paul and Silas did not know who are written in that book that belongs, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, to the secret things of the Lord. And to that end, Paul and Silas, as preached the full counsel of God to all people. And then upon that prayer, and upon that praise, then the apostles received an answer. It's also a blessing and a privilege for the child of God, upon prayer, upon praise, that they receive an answer from heaven. Are there still unanswered prayers in Fort McLeod? Not asking unheard prayers. Unanswered prayers. Are there still waiting souls? And if you ask for those waiting souls, what they are waiting for, then they can give you an exact answer. It's not in general. And they shall also be enabled to tell the exercises concerning that waiting. And then it is already a blessing and a privilege when the Lord grants tokens that he knows of them. And now upon the prayers and praise of the apostles, oh, many times it is necessary because of lack of prayer and praise that the Lord needs to speak louder. That may be our picture. When we think of these matters, the Lord speaks in so many ways. His goodness, providential callings. Do you sometimes think, sometimes troubled, sometimes shocked that you think, what must the Lord now do? In which way must he speak to bring me on the right place? A heart does not bow. A heart that does not bend. Of course, necessary, the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is free, also speaks with a still small voice. At other times he speaks more loudly. When we think of earthquakes, then in the Old Testament, we read very little of earthquakes. Was a special earthquake, a great earthquake. We read that in Amos 1 verse 1, concern is prophecy, concern is burden. It was 2 years before the earthquake. It was in the reigns of King Uzziah and Jeroboam the second. And that earthquake is also mentioned in Zechariah 14 verse 5. Centuries later, then that earthquake was not forgotten, was written, when the people have fled away with that earthquake. But in the Old Testament, very seldom read the New Testament more with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where else? That Christ has proclaimed that in the latter days, wars, rumors of wars, and earthquakes. And there are many earthquakes. The Lord's also speaking. With each earthquake, for boys and girls, youth, older ones, the time is coming closer at hand, the great day of judgment. Are we prepared? And of course, the moment of our death, then our time of grace is past. Oh, what a precious time of grace that it is. May begin another season today. It's the longest day of the year. Lord declares his faithfulness, Genesis 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Also a preaching. A season, a time for everything, and how quickly our time goes by, even for boys and girls. The beginning of a school year, then for boys and girls it can be, when they think before all the time, the days, the weeks, the months, then maybe at the beginning of the school year, boys and girls, you thought, that is so far away. And now, when the Lord granteth it, the school year is nearly coming to a close. And now we read of a great earthquake, and those that have experienced it, they shall tell you that then in a special way you were given to feel the almighty power of that great God. And we read, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were loosed. And yet in that earthquake, a great wonder. Because when all the doors go open and all the bonds of the prisoners, they fell off, such a large earthquake, and that yet the whole jail did not collapse and bury all the prisoners, that was a wonder of the Lord. Also in providence, too short for eternity, but we do well. There's a blessing when there may be times that we may notice the special providential dealings of the Lord. And that can oftentimes be in the way of reflection. That at the moment so overwhelmed, but when we are given to reflect, given to see the hand of the Lord, then we do well. to examine where it brings us. Does it now bring us closer to His throne and to His word? And now the jailer, he has not heard the praising and the praying, but he has heard, experienced the earthquake. Our third thought, the cry of the desperate jailer, let us first sing. Psalter 188, 1, 2, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. Psalter 188, 1, 2, and 4. diverse voices at midnight in the city of Philippi. The praising of persecuted apostles. The speaking of an almighty God. And now thirdly, the cry of the desperate jailer. And young and old, what that jailer has experienced. Let us never minimize providential dealings in our life. It is a blessing when we may have eyes to see it. A greater blessing when it may bring us closer to the throne and closer to the Word. But in itself, no foundation to appear before our Maker. We need, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to experience what that jailer has experienced, to become a poor lost sinner that cannot save himself, and to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And then it has pleased the Lord to use in his providence an earthquake. Oftentimes the Lord uses providential happenings for the ingathering of his church, but also together, always together, with the Word of God. And now the prisoner, he was awakened out of a sleep, as suddenly, unexpectedly. And then he has seen it, the prison doors opened. And then we read that word, supposing. What perception there can be. What harm it causes. What friction, what difficulties, based upon supposing and perception that we do not know the facts. And now the prisoner, the jailer, supposing the prisoners had been fled. And it was the law among the Romans. Think of Acts 12. Peter was in prison. Churches made prayer without ceasing. The Lord has sent his angel to free Peter. And then we read in verse 19 that it was commanded that those keepers, that they would be put to death. Thus for the jailer, when he is seeing the prison doors open, and supposing, it's a good word to remember, that we do not act upon supposing, was important for the jailer, that he had the facts, and that he would wait. But now the jailer, supposing that they were all fled, then he knew what was his lot. And then for the Romans, seemed more honorable to take their own life than that they would be brought to court, humility, and killed. Of course, the jailer did not have the word of God to eternal destinations, and how terrible it would be to appear before the judge unasked. When there are those amongst us that struggle with weakness, and difficulties of the mind. Can be times that it looks so bleak, so dark, so black, and so impossible. May you then be given to remember that there is a God in heaven that knows everything, and then the necessity to simply bow your knees, tell the Lord how overwhelmed, how impossible it looks, open God's holy word and ask to take by heart and by hand. And then Paul, Silas sought, seeing the prison doors open, drew a sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm." That's a word that can be applied to many situations concern our body, to drown our distresses, our worries. Do thyself no harm. Alcohol, drugs. Do thyself no harm in visiting places of vanity, bars, can multiply it out, also necessary. Do thyself no harm, technology. May we be given to do what our hand finds to do, but also what a proper word for God's people. Do thyself no harm when it is dark. Cast not everything overboard. Despise not the day of small things. It's not the foundation. Let us remember, it's not the foundation. But not to despise, as we read in Zechariah 4, verse 10, not to despise the day of small things. Do thyself no harm by telling the Lord how the Lord has to convert you. It's true, we need a biblical conversion, but the Lord always leads his people in different ways than they thought and they ever imagined. Do thyself no harm. I've mentioned that word, supposing. Do thyself no harm when it is dark. That jailer, he has asked for light. For the church, when it is dark, not to make decisions, to remain where we are, to ask for light, sunlight. Can be. We are in a dark room and we have something a certain color, then there can be discussion what color it really is. Then when it's dark, we need light. But with artificial light, it can still be deceiving. Then we need daylight. And now in the life of the jailer, it is so clearly laid out. The way, that the Spirit holds with His people, because we read of many remarkable things. We have mentioned He asked for light. Oh, when the Lord works, then we learn how ignorant we are. I hope for the graduates, maybe when you were in kindergarten and sometime you came home from school and you thought you told your mother and father all that you learned that is good, and then you thought that you knew a lot. But when we continue to school, go to school, and then also graduates, then we know how little we really know. Oh, on the school of King Jesus. Then we never graduate. But now we have some clear marks. He asked for light, and then it is written, and sprang in. Sprang in that inner dungeon where Paul and Silas, undoubtedly they have stood at the door to speak to the jailer, but he sprang in. And why? Made that good choice of a Ruth. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. With experience, that terrible earthquake, then that jailer, in Romans 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then undoubtedly it cannot be different that that jailer have heard of the damsel where she has followed the apostles, these be the servants of the living God, heard the reason why the apostles were brought to be kept in jail. Oh, then undoubtedly the jailer, then he was given to see Paul and Silas as servants of the living God, of that living God that has sent that earthquake. And now then we see that love shed abroad. Oh, that the jailer thought, it may now be with those servants of that almighty and living God, then I shall be safe. Can be, especially when we are young. And the Lord works in our hearts that we can come in places, of course not bad places, so where we do not belong. Also in the summer season, it's a beautiful season. Let it be a season of modesty, decency, and that we and our children do not come in places where there is vanity and foolishness. But then it can be when we are young with that tender fear of the Lord, and we have to go through this world, Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, called upon to go through Vanity Fair, that such a child is given to look around whether there is a child of God. Then they feel safer. Then in a childlike way they can think, then at least the Lord will not send fire down from heaven to destroy. Thus, when the Lord works, Galatians 5 verse 6, faith worketh by love. Love for that almighty God. Also love for us people. Love for us servants. Must not idolize. then we shall come out ashamed, but sprang in to be with the apostles. Then we read that he was a trembling. James 2 verse 19, thou believest that there is a God, thou doest well. Devils also believe and tremble. Have we ever trembled for that great and majestic God? Have we ever trembled before speaking? Have we ever trembled before thundering Sinai? Read in Hebrews that even a Moses trembled and then fell down. Submission, humiliation, as it were. Then the jailer, he was the keeper, but he has placed himself at the disposal of the apostles when the Lord works. Then we become a servant, a handmaiden, given to us for the ways of the Lord. A learned congregation needs to be a beginning, a right beginning, a beginning wrought by the Spirit. And the Spirit works that love and that need. And what then? Another clear mark. He did not state his request why the apostles were still in that dungeon. But it is clearly written, and brought them out. Repentance. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. Much Christendom in our day speaks so beautifully, but that repentance and that godliness is so missed. Thus first, the jailer, he has brought the apostles out. All given to remember what he has done. Because with his coarse hands, he has taken the servants of that living God that has shaken the prison by a mighty earthquake. He was not consumed. Oh, that was the sorrow and regret. It's true. Undoubtedly he has herded servants of the living God, but did not sink in, did not register. But now it has become true, the servants of the living God, and that he is there to treat them so cruelly, and therefore that repentance, that he has first brought them out, and then he has come with a special petition, and that is a petition that we all need to learn. On this side of the grave, oh, then he was given to address the apostles as sirs. And then the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Is not written in the first place to escape punishment, but to be saved. Has that now become our question? Has that now become our petition? Have we learned by the grace of God how lost that we are, how unworthy, how hell-worthy that we are? Oh, that there is that one thing needful. I need to be saved. I need to be reconciled. I need to be pardoned. I need to be forgiven. Oh, it is true in that question, what must I do to be saved? Oh, then we hear that covenant of works. But oh, young and old, have you now ever tried to be saved? Then you shall say, but I have learned from my youth that by my works I cannot be saved. Oh, if that is your answer, then it is clear how ignorant you are. Because when the Lord starts to work by His Spirit and the desperate need to be saved, then there shall be that repentance, and then we shall try everything to be saved. And then it is the Spirit's working to teach such a sinner that we can never save ourselves, that even our repentance need repenting of. Oh, do we not read in Isaiah 64, verse 6, that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? Oh, the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. But then I ask you in this afternoon, have you now become a sinner? Have you now become a great sinner? Has there been a time that you perhaps thought that I am the chiefest of sinners, when you were given to reflect upon your former life? And then I repeat, it does not mean that we have lived it out, but then it all comes back. All for that jailer, there was the one important question that he was given to ask, what must I do to be saved? Our last thought, the preaching of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the apostles. It was virtue. Those precious words, those profound words, which Christ has spoken on the cross, the sixth cross word. It is finished. It is completed. The price has been paid. Ah, then for the apostles, then what a joy, unspeakable joy there was in their hearts. The jailer, the keeper, such clear marks of the work of the Lord, and then such a deep, profound, an important question. What must I do to be saved? Implies that he was lost. But now we read in Luke 19, verse 10, that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, then for the apostles, then they were given to preach the glorious gospel as it is in Jesus Christ. Acts 4, verse 12. No other name given under heaven whereby thou must be saved. O jailer, there is nothing left to do. It has all been done. He has cried out, it is finished. And now the Spirit grants the revelation, the application, and true saving faith to believe. It was a short and a powerful work. And our text words, the Lord is free and sovereign. And then the gratitude, maybe there are those that say in this afternoon, But is it now so simple to be saved? Because Paul simply said, apostles, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is the work of grace. And our faith, we live in a time that many make the covenant of grace into a veiled covenant of works. They make faith a work. So you have to believe, you simply believe. Tell me where in the Bible does it say that we can and aren't able to believe? Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9. There it is written that faith is also a gift of God. Oh, the glorious gospel for the jailer. Not everything is written in God's word. Apostles, they have declared more. Thus misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And they spake unto him the words of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And then the gratitude. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. You can picture it, boys and girls, that the jailer, when he has washed those stripes, was not with an iron brush, but as tenderly as possible and with tears, that he has treated the servants of the living God who has given a son to save a sinner as I am. Or do you think, congregation, the Spirit's work to uncover sinners to the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and then the further leadings, Zechariah 12, verse 10, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced and born as one for an only son. Do you think that such a people, it is true, can be times of backsliding? Saints can fall into sin, but when it may be right, that they shall continue to live in sin. Because Christ has merited for his people not only justification, also sanctification, then further obedience, and was baptized, he in all a straight way. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. That is a holy joy. God's people, they have a beginning here below of that joy, that rejoicing and praise. It's true, only a small beginning. What do we know of the life of the keeper of the prison? Many things have been mentioned. Could we go along a little way? Or still all strangers? my unconverted fellow travelers. Use the means of grace faithfully and ask the Lord that he may speak with power. Psalm 62, Lord has spoken once, twice have I heard it. Ask that you may be won over, stopped, turned, and to be given to experience what the keeper of the prison has experienced. And now, people of God, how far may we go along with the keeper of the prison? Oh, precious marks of grace. And the people of God are given to rejoice with the gifts, with the marks, with their choice, but with the true work of the Lord, exercised with justice. And justice needs to be satisfied by us or by another. The Lord has said in Exodus 12, verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, in Philippi, the wonderful works of the Lord, different leadings, the same Spirit, saved by the same Savior. We read in Ephesians 3, the verses 20 and 21, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Jesus Christ through all ages, a world without end. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Thy word may be read in this morning, granted a few words in this afternoon. May it be for examination, and may it be turned into prayer. May it please thee to be the after preacher. Watch over us in the remainder of this day. May the Lord's day be kept holy. We may commence another week. We commend unto thee the mothers at home with the children, the mothers with the unborn. Remember at work. Remember on the way. Remember at school. Wherever we are called to be, keep from harm and danger, from sin and temptation. Welcome our grand traveling mercies. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 297, the stanzas 1 and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy still endure. Thus let his ransom testify from all their foes secure. And what follows, 297, 1 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.